WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
NHRA Nitro on WFO Radio. Welcome back, NHRA fans. The final WFO Winner's Show of the 2014 season. The first WFO show of the offseason, and we're going to go right through the holidays into December. Don't move a muscle. If you love NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, cars, the car culture, this is the place to be. Be sure to subscribe. On this week's show, we're going to break down the Auto Club Finals, and the 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Series champions have been crowned. On the show, Matt Hagen, the now two-time NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion, defeats John Force in the points, defeats John Force in the final round. But what an epic battle. What a great rivalry. These two going toe-to-toe in 2010, in 2013, back and forth. This is what rivalries are made of, and they had great seasons, both drivers, but Matt Hagen comes out on top. What was he thinking? What did it feel like? We're going to speak with Matt. And all you Hagen Nation fans out there, get ready. He is coming up in just a little bit. Also on the show, Pro Stock Motorcycle winner Hector Arana Jr. going to talk about ending the season off in a great way. And his brother Adam Arana, who is going off to serve his country in the Coast Guard, makes a cameo appearance as well. Plus perhaps some more surprises to come as we try to track down the race winners and champions following the NHRA banquet late night out there on the West Coast. But one guy we can always track down, especially for our weekly show, is the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart. Who was there? Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back.
So the finals, just the presentation of the finals, watching on ESPN2, just tremendous. But the numbers, the racing, the fact that Erica and Jason had to run for it all in the final, the fact that Matt Hagen and John Force ran in the final for the race win. Matt was already champ at that moment. But you can't script things better than they turned out.
I actually said after the Pro Stock final, I said, somebody should make a movie about this. And then I said, nah, nobody'd ever believe it.
Yeah, Disney.
It was an amazing day at the races, and I honestly felt like sitting watching it happen, exactly what I put on Twitter at the end of the day. I said, if this was your first NHRA race and you hated it, don't ever come back. Because it was just an amazing day. From top to bottom, the sportsman racing was incredible. You have a funny car race that comes down to 1/10,000th of a second. The semifinals in Pro Stock, when both drivers had perfect lights, which has never happened in the history of NHRA before. It was just an amazing, incredible day to be at the races. It was certainly fun to watch, and I think the fans really got their money's worth.
And if you were there for the very first time and you're logged onto the show because you think they all are just like that, that's not the case either. This was historic. The Trip Zero race. I saw Lewis Bloom, that guy, post a tweet yesterday. He checked with Bob Fry. Had it ever happened? Never happened. I was searching my personal data banks, bracket races. That's something that you just don't see. When it popped up on the screen, I'm alone in my house watching late night, and I couldn't help but just let out an oh my goodness, what was it like being on the mic for that, watching the computer and the numbers pop up?
Well, I mean, first off, when I'm on the microphone, I'm not watching the computer, I'm watching the race. The cars left, they looked fairly close together. As they're headed down track, I glanced over at the computer and saw that and went, wow. And then when Erica's scoreboard came up, obviously the most important thing at the moment was she's back in the point lead because Jason had run in front of her and won. When Jason won, he took the point lead. Erica had to win to retake the point lead. So that obviously was the big moment. And then once the chutes are out and once the elite people are celebrating and Jonathan's team is kind of, you know, humming, then at a quiet moment, it was pretty easy to get everybody's attention. And what I said is, you know, wait till you hear this. You know, Jonathan Gray was 000 perfect on the starting line, and all the Gray Motorsports guys just throw their hands up like, wow, what's a guy got to do? And I said, and he didn't leave first. And that kind of mesmerized everybody for a moment. And then I said, because Erica was also 000 perfect, and the place just went berserk. I mean, it was, you know, like I said, never happened before in pro stock. I've seen it, I don't know, two or three times maybe over the years. Big buck bracket racing, and, you know, it happened once in Super Comp probably 5 or 6 or 8 years ago. So it's just one of those rare things. But it had never, ever happened before in the professional ranks. So it was a pretty special moment. Obviously, it's big for Erica. And, you know, for me, you think about, wow, that was amazing to watch. That was fun. That was something, you know, obviously nobody's ever seen before in the pro ranks. But I also can't help but think that's 1,000th of a second from Jason Lyon being the world champion. And can you imagine what the emotional swing of that 1,000th of a second could have been? And it was just it was an amazing moment.
It really was. And since we're talking pro stock, and I always find it difficult sometimes to put the stories in order. I know the natural flow is Top Fuel, Funny Car, pro stock motorcycle. But this year, with the historic nature of Erica's championship and the exciting way it all went down, the fact that many people have been talking about the future of pro stock, like what's going to happen. And then this season comes around, and it is just so dramatic. So many different things, ebb and flow, and Erica takes a huge lead and then takes some races off, and Jason is emerging. And Jason, of course, is one of the greatest engine guys and drivers, multi-time champ. They make it down to the final round, and it's all for everything right there. And Jason goes red by 11 thou, and Erica wins the race. But also left early, had he sat there broken or had a tenth of a second reaction time, Jason would have also been the champ. So many sub-stories and things to think about.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was another just incredible moment to be on the microphone. It was kind of funny. I had a number of people, and I'm not beating on my chest by any means, but I had a number of people came up to me Sunday night after it was over with and said, you did a great job today. And I'm like, anybody could have, I mean, a guy that couldn't talk could have sat there and made that exciting. It was just, it had nothing to do with me. I was a fortunate guy to be in the position while it was all happening and got to be the reporter. But, you know, the final round, obviously, Jason goes red. The elite guys are jumping up and down doing backflips on the starting line. Erica had said later she didn't see it until she got in high gear. She said she was just focused on her mission. And she said when she let the clutch out, she felt good. You know, I was on time, I'm good. But out of the corner of her eye, she could see the nose of Jason's car. And she said her first thought is, how did he get in front of me? But, you know, focus, hit your shift points. We've got a fast car. We're going to be fine. Don't mess this up. And so went through her routine, hit all of her shift points, kept the car in a groove. And once it's in high, and once it's then, when she glanced up, she saw the wind light on and realized, oh, he red lit. But her focus at the moment was so tight on what her job was, what her mission was, what she had to do. She didn't see the red light. She didn't see the wind light until after she had completed basically her task in the car, which is keeping it in the groove, getting it in high gear. At that point, you've got a second to kind of catch your breath. And, oh, by the way, they ran low ET in the final round. So she obviously hit her shift points right, did her job just right, kept her focus, even with the mild distraction, I guess, if you could call it that, of Jason being out in front. But it was, you know, kind of like the moment before. Once they go through, and once the lights are on, and once, okay, Erica is, you know, the first ever female pro stock champion, the third female to ever win a championship in the pro ranks. I said, but wait, you got to hear this. You know, Jason was red by 11,000th of a second, And I said, if he had shut his car off on the starting line, he'd be the champion right now, because Erica was early too by 2/2 of a second. For those that don't know the timing system we use, it's a first or worst. Once Jason left, the computer turns that light on, and Erica is going to get a green light no matter what, because you know you cannot double red light on a competition run. So once Jason left, he fouled out, and whatever she did didn't make any difference as long as she kept the car in her lane, which she obviously did. So it was just another one of those, you know, can you believe it moments, and it was just a pretty special way to end the Pro Stock season after, you know, as you said, all the drama, all the stories, all the things that have happened. You know, who's hot at this moment? Who's hot at this moment? You know, at one point it looked like the Gray Motorsports team might finish first, second, and third in the points when they went on that tear and just were winning all the races out there in the middle of the summer. But Erica and her team put it together, kept their focus, and got it done.
Lots to talk about. We are working on connecting with Erica, but after the banquet, I can imagine it might end up being next week as well. One of the great things about the season ending is we have a little more time to unpack and kind of think about what happened. Alan, what is your opinion of the significance? I know that we kind of, in drag racing, run into this often. First African-American motorsports champion, Antron Brown. First female champion, Shirley Muldowney. Angel, we've been down the road before. It hasn't happened in pro stock. It is a big deal out there in the other sporting world for this to happen. Erica's been getting a lot of attention. She sealed the deal in what has been nicknamed the Year of the Woman in the NHRA, just because it's like not one female driver, it's all of them, the kicking in the door. We are here, we are winning, we are so out in front of everyone else in the world of motorsports in terms of diversity. But Erica did it. She got the job done. She added her name to that exclusive list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing that it'll be interesting to see what happens, I guess, is, you know, I would love to see Erica, you know, do some talk shows, whether it's late night, whether it's morning, whether it's and get the kind of press that she and her team deserve for the accomplishment. The, you know, the other side of that is, in drag racing, a woman winning is not news. It's been happening so much. You know, 14 times this year in the pro ranks, a woman took a trophy home. And every, you know, in three of the four pro categories, the only one that didn't, the only category didn't have a female winner was Top Fuel. We had female winners, multiple female winners in Funny Car, female winner in Pro Stock Motorcycle, obviously what Erica, excuse me, what Erica did in Pro Stock. But it's gotten to the point when if you tell a reporter, hey, a girl finished top five in the Indianapolis 500, he's like, wow, that's amazing. You know, a girl finished top five in a NASCAR race. Wow, that's amazing. A girl won a drag race. He goes, well, didn't that happen last week? And, you know, it's just such a part of the drag racing culture. You know, I hope they can make a big thing out of it. You know, I hope the fact that Erica has the notoriety for being, you know, a girl they made a Disney movie about, a girl that has had a number of already mainstream, for lack of a better term, media exposure or different media exposure from what motorsports normally gets, that somebody will pick up on this and run with it. I would love to see it happen. I'd love that if there was something I could do to make it happen. But I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
We've got to put you out on a billboard somewhere for like 48 hours. No?
Sure. I'm in.
I could go. The nature of drag racing is such that now that we can look back and she accomplished all this stuff, like the moments that she had to rise to the occasion, and not just Erica, all the champions, but she had to rise to the occasion, big moments, and she came through every time over the past couple of weeks, came from behind and took the points lead and won the race. And at the NHRA breakfast at SEMA, Tony Schumacher made a big deal about the difference between winning it on the track by turning on the wind light, being on the track and winning and seizing it, versus becoming a champion while on the sidelines watching someone else lose. And she did exactly that.
Well, and you know, I agree with that 100%. Having witnessed the moments from both sides, you know, I've had some of those moments on a different scale. You know, I think everybody's had those moments, whether, you know, you're watching your kid play a sport or whatever is happening. You know, it's all just on a little bit of a different scale. Nobody I know dreams of sitting on the bench and winning a championship watching a guy miss a free throw. They dream about being the guy standing there with the ball and winning the championship because the free throw goes in. You know, nobody dreams about going into the ninth inning of the World Series with a 15-run lead. Everybody's dream is bases loaded, two out, I've got the bat in my hand and we're down by two. That's the moment you want. You know, it doesn't say it on the trophy. It doesn't say, well, you know, he won it because the other guy missed, but it's a different feeling when you win it. And Tony actually was pretty, if his speech is on YouTube someplace, I think everybody should watch Tony's speech. He talked last night at the banquet that every trophy tells a story. And he said, it's too bad they're not written on the outside so people that look at the trophy years from now can understand the story. But it's just a special moment. I think it's a more special moment when you go out and do it as opposed to when you sit there and watch it happen, even if the reward and the prize is exactly the same. And Erica and her team went out and did it. I was very struck by Erica in the press room listening to her talk about the mental focus and getting it done and where she was mentally during the week, during the day, as the rounds were going on. And she has come a long ways in just the last probably 3 or 4 years. You know, I knew her when she started. I knew her before she was racing pro stock, and then got to know her a little bit better when she was racing pro stock. She drove with David Nickens for a while, who obviously I'm pretty close to, and I got to know her a little bit there. But the fact that now she is so much mentally stronger and so much more equipped to be in a high-pressure situation. You know, do you still get nerves? Yes. Do you still get butterflies? Yes. Was she feeling it yesterday? Absolutely. She said she was, or Sunday. But she has put herself mentally in a position that she's much more capable of doing the job now and accomplishing the task than I think she was even 3 or 4 years ago. You know, that's something that you can only get through experience and focus and, you know, whatever she's been doing to make it happen. But very, very impressive performance by Mrs. Stevens.
Absolutely. And a huge congratulations to her. Other champions crowned, of course, Tony Schumacher. It's so difficult to break these down. His eighth Top Fuel World Championship. He goes to the final round, has to run Morgan Lucas. Morgan uncorks a 3.704, I believe the second quickest run in the history of Top Fuel right there.
Correct.
And
correct.
beats Tony, who had a 34 reaction time, runs 3.74.2. So he has to feel a little twinge of sting at the end of the day, but I have a feeling when he saw those numbers, it didn't much matter. Tony Schumacher, just such a great champion. And after hiring his own assassins in many ways with Antron Brown and Spencer Massey, they have to run each other so often. The technology is spread throughout those teams. Able to go out there and win another title. Bookending a career, and I know there's more to come, but bookending a career that has been so great already.
No, it was a pretty incredible day. Tony had the title wrapped up basically Saturday night. Once qualifying was over with, you know, nobody could have caught him no matter what. So that made the title official. But even then, he came in the press room and he said, you know, that doesn't mean I'm ready to go on vacation. You know, there is still a race. We want to win this race. And the level of competition is ridiculous. You know, Tony qualified at 3.76 and was ninth. Ninth. And, you know, as I said on the PA, I said, there's some places that 3.76 would get you taken to the tech barn and torn down. You know, 3.79 was 14th qualifier. It was the quickest bump spot in the history of the world. It was incredible. And, you know, to go out, and Tony said, he said, that's what you want to win. What fun would it be if you ran 3.75 and the number two qualifier ran 4 seconds flat at the end of the day? You go, hey, look at me, I got a trophy. What fun would that be? But when all of the cars are running so well and the competition is so tight, and as it turned out, you know, he didn't get the trophy, but he was right in the thick of the battle. He accomplished what the main goal, of course, which was the championship. And when the second quickest run in the history of the sport beats you, what do? I know what Tony did. You get out, you go shake the guy's hand, you tell him, dude, that was freaking awesome. And you start planning on, you know, your next race, whether it's next week or in this particular case 80 days away. But I think the most interesting Tony Schumacher stat on the season, and I told him this last night at the banquet, it was kind of funny, I told him after it was over with, and he says, oh, I wish I'd have known that before, I could have used it. But the first two cars to go down the racetrack in 2014 in competition in the Mellie Yellow Series, Tony Schumacher lost. And the last two cars to go down the racetrack, Tony Schumacher lost. In the middle, he won the championship. But round one, first pair at the Winter Nationals was Khaled Al-Belushi, Tony Schumacher. And the final round at the Auto Club Finals was Morgan Lucas, Tony Schumacher. So he got to be there for the beginning, got to be there for the end. And in the middle of that, he won the championship, which was pretty cool.
Unreal. Looking forward to having Tony on the show, folks. The reason you need to log on to WFO Radio every week. Richie Crampton was the number one qualifier, wins the Auto Club Road to the Future Award. That was the no-brainer of the century, winning the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, just having a great season, Richie Crampton. Also, though, in the final points, J.R. Todd, second in points from a guy who was not in the series for the first quarter or third of the season to finish second in the point standings. That is a dramatic turnaround.
Well, he missed three races. He didn't miss that much of it. But,
oh, really? It was only three?
He Pomona, Phoenix, Gainesville. Then he joined the trip in Vegas. No, they had a good car. They had a good season. They had, you know, the ironic thing, I guess, for JR was he raced Bob Vandergriff in round number one. You know, Bob, who was the one that kept him driving a car for the last couple of years. Bob, the guy he left when he got the opportunity to go drive full-time for Coletta. And Bob, who has said he's going to step back and retire. It's like, hey, kid, after all you've done for me, really? Really? But, JR had a good car, a solid, consistent car. You put him on the same scale as Doug Coletta in the early part of the season. Didn't win a lot of races, went to a lot of finals, won a lot of rounds, racked up a lot of points, and that's what it came down to in the end.
In funny car, obviously a great matchup. You got John Force, who all year long is racing for multiple objectives. Try to bring in sponsorship, try to stay out there, try to reconnect with a new manufacturer. He knows the way to do it is by winning races and winning the championship. He is the defending champion. Matt Hagan, who at the start of the season was on a mission last year. Dickie Venables got sick, and then in the countdown, John Force really steps up. Of course, Jimmy Prock moves over to DSR. All kinds of turnover. They battle right down to the wire, and the championship is sealed when John was unable to set a backup for a national record, which ultimately would not happen anyway. But Hagan is the champ. I think about the great rivalries and how they elevate the sport that they are in, like Ali Frazier, and how they go back and forth, and the Celtics and the Lakers, and how they go back and forth. And that's what's happening with these two. Hagan and Force are basically swapping championships every couple of years. It's Hagan, it's Force. It's Force, it's Hagan. And how can you not choose sides if you're a fan? How can you not get stoked and puff your chest out if you're a Matt Hagan fan? He often talks about how Force has got a lot more fans because of 30 years of racing and winning and entertaining. But this kid is really stepping up and really earned this championship.
Matt is, first, a likable guy. And second, he's a down-to-earth guy. I mean, he works on a farm. He drives a pickup truck. He hunts, he fishes, he drives a funny car. But that's one of the reasons I think that Matt's fan base has grown so much over the past few years. You know, on-track success has a lot to do with that, but on-track success brings exposure, and that exposure lets people get to know you. You know, Matt Hagan is the same guy he was 5 years ago when he came into the series. But now that he's had more success and got more exposure, then people understand. You mean this guy gets out of this car, flies home, and goes to work on a ranch? And, yeah, that's what he does. And so, you know, just being that guy, I think, has attracted a lot of fans to him. The same way when John Force started, he was, hey, I'm just an old truck driver. And, you know, it's the guy that Matt is a reason that he's attracting a lot of fans. And some people, for whatever reason, are just fortunate. And, you know, Matt obviously does a great job in the car, but he's in a right position. He's won races and now won a couple of championships when, you know, other guys that you would look at and go, you know, he's as talented, he's as equipped, he has the same tools, he has the same opportunities, he has, and it just, you know, hasn't worked out for him. I mean, you look at Ron Capps. You know, would you say that Matt Hagen is a better driver than Ron Capps?
No,
I wouldn't.
No.
And I'm not saying Ron Capps is better than Matt Hagen. I'm saying that they both have the ability to do the job.
Top level.
But Ron's been out there years and years and years and been close and close and close and never been able to quite do it. And Matt's done it now twice in 5 years. And, you know, I don't know what the intangible thing is. You know, it's like we're talking about what makes a great pro stock driver. If all you're going to do is count ETs, that's not what makes a great pro stock driver. There's some intangible thing that you have, whether it's faith, whether it's good fortune, whether it's karma, whether it's, I don't know. But Matt certainly has it. And he and John are easily the biggest rivalry in funny car right now, and it's just fun to sit back and watch.
Absolutely. And how was Hagen's speech? We're going to hear from Matt coming up on the show in a few minutes. And it was actually an interview that we taped prior to the speech. He said he was going to keep it short and sweet. The question is, was it? And we've got Alan Reinhart now on cell phone. That's amazing, Alan. How did you do that?
Oh, it's like magic. It's like magic. I was actually doing a boat race for Mav TV. I had to get that knocked out earlier today, and they have the schedule studio. The studio schedule, said the professional announcer. I had to get in, get that taken care of, and now we can finish this baby up.
This is awesome, the way it all works. The power of WFO radio. We cannot be stopped. So how was Hagen's speech? How did he do?
He did very well, actually. It's, like you would expect him to do. He did invite his board on stage, recognized the individual members and all the effort that they put in, and talked again about how the fact that they really are one cohesive unit. He said, you know, we eat together, we drink together, we have fun together, and we work and race together. And he did a very nice job with it. It certainly wasn't the shortest speech we've ever seen, but he came nowhere near Jack Beckman's record.
Poor Beckman is the standard for long speeches, but I guess that will be the case until the record is broken somewhere down the road. What about Andrew Hines? Obviously, we're going to have Hector Jr. on the show just a couple minutes from now, and even a cameo by Adam. But Andrew Hines, fourth championship, just a tremendous season.
It was, and he talked again about, you know, how hard the team had to work after the rules changed in 2013. It took them a while to get where they wanted to be. You know, missing the countdown last year completely made him and his team very hungry. Middle of the season when they decided, hey, we're having problems with this chassis. We need to build a new chassis. And, you know, well, then it's day after tomorrow. Okay, well, then we got 2 days. Let's get it done. And just the dedication of everybody that works with him, you know, his dad being inducted earlier this year into the Hall of Fame. And it's just been a great year for Vance and Hines. And, you know, he's going to be a champion just like he was the last three times. He also spoke about, you know, the tie, that he was tied with three championships, John Myers and Angel and his brother, and it was important to him to kind of break out of that grouping, and also was very heartfelt when he said, you know, we all know that if John Myers had not died, that he would have certainly won more than that, and now that Angel's back, the possibility of her adding to her legacy is out there as well. So motorcycle racing is alive and well. It's kind of like the Top Fuel stuff. You know, there was a time when you could go to the races and there was only two guys that really had a shot to win. And you go out there now and there's six or seven that could win any week without surprising anybody. And there's probably 10 that with just a small break could have a good shot at winning.
Very exciting stuff, and looking forward to 2015 already in all categories. I also know that the Lucas Oil Banquet was there. You, I believe, hosted the deal. How did it go? How are the champions?
It went very well. It, you know, Luke Pagacki kicked things off, and he is just a fun guy to listen to. Forrest Lucas was actually there, made a speech that was almost John Force-ish. And the fact that, you know, he told some funny stories and never didn't really follow a script and just was, you know, spreading some stuff around. All the champions were terrific. You know, Chris Dempsey, as you can imagine, was so excited after all he'd been through that, you know, finally, they won that championship. Everything about it was a good night. You know, if you put Pete Biondo and David Rampey and Austin Williams, who was a first-time winner, and, of course, Cool Hand Luke in the same room, and Edmund Richardson. You've got a great group of guys that have a lot of experience and have a lot of stories to tell and had fun telling them. It really was a terrific night. I had as much fun at the Lucas event as I did at the Mellow Yellow one later in the evening.
Well, that is great. Absolutely tremendous. We're starting to see the photographs coming out of the red carpet and just everybody dressed to the nines. I'm talking about the ladies, of course. And it looked like a tremendous event following a great race. But now the season has concluded for 2014. I know a lot of people are already working on 2015 stuff. My personal goal for this show is to interview every champion through the Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil series on this show, Super Gas, Comp Eliminator, everybody, over the next couple weeks.
I would imagine that you shouldn't have too much trouble pulling that off. You know, they're great champions, and all of them, especially in the Lucas ranks, you know, the professionals are used to microphones and cameras and giving interviews, but all of the sportsman drivers this year, very good speakers, very enjoyable to listen to, how they got started, where they got involved in racing, the road they took to the championship. Almost to a man, they said, you know, we didn't start out thinking championship this year, but, you know, you go to a handful of races and had some success, and all of a sudden it's like, well, this might just work. So they're all going to be fun to listen to, and I look forward to hearing some more stories from all of them.
Well, very cool. Now, I know you were at the banquet. Obviously, the entire sport was scheduled, but Monday night was the Fast and Loud show on Discovery from the AAA Texas Fall Nationals, where they had the Gas Monkey top field dragster driven by Kevin Kinsley. I got to tell you, I thought that they did a good job, just if nothing else, like the promotion for the NHRA was very positive. They showed the sport in a very positive light.
Well, that's wonderful. You know me, I'll take all the positive exposure for my sport that I can get. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see it, but yeah, maybe my VCR caught it.
There you go, your Betamax.
Yeah, there it is. I still got those tapes, man. They're stacked up.
Well, they're going to replay that thing 50 million times. That's how they do with that show. So it will be on, but I thought it was positive. It was interesting to think that the championship had just been decided, and now this really good positive display of the sport out there. There's a lot of good things going on in the world of drag racing, that is for sure. Alan, great job as usual. Now it's all about the Mustang.
Oh, not quite yet. I'm on my way to Santa Maria right now, the annual Blaine Johnson Memorial Golf Tournament that we'll play golf tomorrow. We'll have the dinner and charity auction tomorrow night, raise some funds for the Allen Hancock College, which has the Blaine Johnson Memorial machine shop out there as part of their school. So that's something I look forward to every year. And then it'll be Mustang time for about a week before I got to pack up and head over to the Mideast. I think I'm going to miss a show here coming up in a couple of weeks because I'm not sure how I could do it from an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have Skype. We can call your cell over Skype, but I don't know how that'll work. I think you might have to have Wi-Fi.
You know, I don't have the slightest idea. I'm the first time that I've been fortunate enough to be invited to take this trip, and I'm really looking forward to it. So if I end up having to miss a Tuesday, I hope everybody will forgive me, and we'll just make up for it when I get back.
Absolutely, definitely. And again, great job this entire season. Watching it culminate out there at the finals was great. The whole sport, everybody put on a great show down to the final race. So excellent work. Let's build on it for next year.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun year, and it's going to be nice to catch our breath for the next 80 days, and then, we'll fire the first pair.
There you go. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you again very soon.
The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhard, with us here on WFO Radio. He kicks us off each week and has been doing it for many years now here on WFO. We got a great show for you. Matt Hagan, the now two-time 2014 NHRA Funny Car Mellow Yellow Champion, going to join us just minutes from now. Caught up with Matt as he was getting ready for the banquet. And Hector Arana Jr., Adam Arana also on there. So we have got a great show for you. And we are trying to track down winners and champions over the next couple of weeks. So you got a big-time reason to stick around on WFO. Now, I know some of you are like, I know, I'm just going to check out for a couple of months because it's the off season. I think that would be a big mistake because I like to think we entertain for a couple of hours each week, and we're going to try our best to continue to do so. Hopefully, you'll keep checking back to the WFO Radio website, download the application, follow us on social media. Got some great stuff in the NASCAR world to talk about as well as we move into the off season. Coming up next, we have got Matt Hagan. Going to talk about winning the Funny Car title and the Auto Club Finals. We've also got Hector Arana Jr. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser. I tell you this every week because it's so relevant. Open a browser and go to frankhawley.com. consider this. The holidays are coming. What are you going to get your special someone, the racer, the race fan, your crew guys, the guys who help you, that volunteer on your team, that help you with your car, the guy that comes over and helps you out, that says, you know, I've never had an opportunity to do this. Consider the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. A great opportunity for a media day, a ride and drive, a team building workouting, something like a bachelor party. Get your guys together, you go race dragsters. Courses start at $399 and they travel the country with the Dragster Adventure. And you're thinking to yourself, well, it's the off season. Well, exactly. Give them a call at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, 866-480-7223, and start making your plans for 2015. They will be coming around. They're on the West Coast. They're on the East Coast. And maybe the thing to do for your special someone is get them an opportunity at the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, and then you work out which school and where you're going to go to. The best way to do it, give them a call, 866-480-7223. They still have licensing courses for Top Alcohol Dragster, Super Comp, Super Gas, Pro Stock Motorcycle in December, Top Alcohol Funny Car, Top Alcohol Dragster. If you're serious, you want to be a pro, of course this is where you want to go. But if you just want to drive a dragster and feel what it feels like to go fast, if you're thinking about a Christmas gift for a friend or family member, this is it. The Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser and read all about it, frankhawley.com, or give them a call and tell them you heard it on WFO. That's very important. 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back with Matt Hagen right after this.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or give him a call, Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order, and there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in and Redline Motor Oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
What is this? This is WFO Radio.
You are Matt Hagen'd out, head to toe, diehard Matt Hagen.
Well, I needed a hero, but I just couldn't find one. One that met my standards, that, you know, that I thought had it all. Everything about him. Plus, he's the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life.
Matt Hagen, Shirley Muldowney approved.
Hi, this is Matt Hagen. You're listening to WFO.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Folks, we have got shows going into the off-season. Do not go anywhere, because we have got a huge 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series season to unpack. But it starts off with winners from the Auto Club Finals, and some of those winners are also the champions. We talked to him, it was just last week. Joining us now, he is the now two-time 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion of the World, Matt Hagen. Matt, welcome back to WFO.
Joe, it is awesome to be on the show, man.
It was awesome watching it all go down and watch you go through it. Matt, it looked like a very tough event to get through, but when you got through it, it seemed like it was all worth it.
Absolutely, you know, and it was awesome feeling to be able to go out there and turn four wing lights on, win a championship, and beat John in the final. I mean, that's what we've been working for. That's been our goal for the whole year. And honestly, it's crazy that you get caught up in that moment, and you have to step back and reflect on, you know, all the stuff that you did to get you there. You know, I mean, that's just, to me, it blows my mind that, you know, five races ago and now six races behind us, the little things that we had to do to make this happen, coming in with an 80-point disadvantage in the countdown and making up the points on John and working hard and digging deep and not making any mistakes. And it just on and on, man. I just cannot say enough about my guys and this team that we have around us and just the whole situation. It was just phenomenal.
The last time you won the championship, we watched it all take place. It was 2010. You battled to the final race against John, and you came close and lost. And while it was heartbreaking, I think a lot of people really got to know you, what you're about, and how serious you are. You were new in the sport at that time. You were still building your personality and your character, and you took it really hard. 2011, you come back, you battle back, and you win. And now you're this new guy. You battled force and lost. You battled force and won. And then the 2012 season did not go the way you had wanted or planned. And then 2013, you're back, and you're this new guy, and you're working out, and you really just bring it right into the countdown, and then John Force emerges and wins again. This season could have been the kind of season that broke you, and instead it was the season that made you. Your second championship seems to be the one that really will define your career. After you won it, what was the emotional feeling like, knowing that you are now a two-time champion?
It's just phenomenal. You know, I honestly wish I could say I was jumping up and down and hooping and hollering, but I'd gotten such a mindset of being so cool, calm, and collected and not let my emotions take over that, you know, I had to kind of make myself get excited just because, you know, it hadn't set in, you know, and it just was just phenomenal. But, I mean, today when I woke up this morning, it was all over me, man. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, just our fan support that we have at DSR here, all the folks that support DSR and the sponsors, and just, it's phenomenal. I mean, John has done a great job, you know, building a fan base over however many years he's been running, and winning the 16 championships. But, you know, we got a great fan base too, and there's a lot of lovers out there. There's a lot of haters, but I tell you what, we got a lot of love coming our way, and it's phenomenal to have the support from our true fans that really get to know us and stuff like that. So that is awesome in itself. But, you know, for me, you know, absolutely, when we went back in 10, you know, I missed it, man. And that was the first time, my second year driving a funny car, just to be in the hunt was amazing. And then, you come back out here, and go out and basically, you know, come back and just is a, you know, super strong in 11, win that championship. It came down to the wire there in the semifinals with Cruz. And it just, you know, it's always anybody's ball game out there with the deal. 2012, you know, we were up and down and didn't really start the deal out very well. I gotta say this, you know, my crew chief, Tommy DeLago at the time, is one of the most brilliant crew chiefs I've ever worked with. Great guy, awesome crew chief. You know what he can do. We see it every weekend out there on the racetrack, but his head wasn't in the right place. He'd already made a decision that he was going to make a change and move to the Coletta camp. And, it showed on the racetrack that we didn't perform the way we needed to in 2012. So, 2013, Dickie comes in, man, we're strong. It's just awesome. We're working hard. You know, our mindset's right. He gets sick in the countdown, not to take anything away from John because those guys ran hard, but Dickie just wasn't there, man. Had to have emergency surgery, yanked him out of the deal. Our assistant crew chief tunes the car the last race, but, and then you come back and, you know, this year Dickie's healthy, he's strong, he's hungry. Our whole team's hungry, man. You know, I mean, we really wanted to win, last year and come back out here and just did everything that we needed to do to win this championship. And it all starts from day one, you know, setting yourself up, being prepared, doing whatever it takes on the practice tree, on, you know, as far as the mental game, just all that stuff, you know, that it all comes back down to, these last few races, you know.
At the SEMA NHRA breakfast a week ago, I don't know if you got to be there or were there or saw it, but on the stage, Tony Schumacher, who is your teammate and also co-champion, winning his eighth, you are 25% there. Also, Antron Brown, Gary Selzy, and John Force. And they were all racers who had won the championship at the finals. But a point was made by Tony that as much as winning the title is important, and of course you go down in the book as the champion, there's something different about winning it in the car, going out and winning the race to become the champion, that kind of deal, as opposed to being defeated and your opponent loses and then you're crowned the champion. What do you think about that, having just experienced it? Going out, winning the race against your opponent, winning the championship, and you are the champion. How is that special?
Well, I mean, you know, your fate's in your own destiny. I mean, I'd love to have John first round. You know, we ended up having him in the final round, but at the end of the day, we turned full wind lights on, and you know, I think it just really drove the point home that we got the race car to beat, and it's we were strong all day long, and in the final, you know, it was, what was really cool is after we won the championship, Dickie Venables, he said, "Man, you know what, Newt?" Or my assistant crew chief, Mike Knutson, and he said, "It's your race car now, man. So you go out here and tune this thing and do what you want to do." He said, "Just remember there is a human being inside of there, you know." So it's just one of them deals where he turned the reins over to my assistant crew chief, and we still went out there and won the race. So that just, to me, that shows you how strong our team is. It shows you how strong our guys are that are on this team and how bad they want to win. So, you know, hats off to all my crew and my crew chief and my assistant crew chief and just all the boys wrenching on the car, blood, sweat, and tears that poured into this thing this year.
Your guys, you always come on the show, you always talk about your guys. Everybody likes to tip the cap to the crew whenever they get an opportunity because you know, and we all know, that those guys are literally bleeding for these cars and these championships. They're busting knuckles, they're working late, they're staying up late, they're up early. It's almost an unsung hero situation because without them, you couldn't do what you do. But you really put emphasis on this group of guys that they have been something special over the past couple of years. Dickie Venables included, a guy who kind of bounced around and has won championships in various locations. It seems like this team has it looks like it could be around for a while in this form.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, you never know what Don's going to do or who he's going to plug and play here and there, but I really hope our team stays intact. I mean, I've got guys now that's won both championships with, and we got new guys on the team as well that this was their first race that they ever won, and, you know, it's also not their first race they won, but this year, you know, their first race they won, and then to come out and get their first championship as well. So, yeah, some of the guys move around here and there, but the core guys, I think they're here to stay, man. They're lifers, and they really, you know, I can't say enough for them standing behind me when a lot of times they didn't know whether I was going to be in the car driving or not, and they still stood there and signed up for that program, you know, just hoping that I'd be their driver. So that to me goes a long ways, and you can't forget that. You have to show respect to the guys that get you there. And, you know, without them, I can't do anything. I'd love to tell you how great a driver I am and that I can do it all on my own, but I think it's a proven fact that you got to have a good crew chief and a good team around you and the driver not mess it up, man.
Now, you're saying some things, and I'm loving hearing about this because I want to lean on you about your banquet speech. People need to understand we're speaking right before the NHRA banquet, and Matt's going to be giving a speech. But you, even now, Matt, you're a two-time Funny Car champion, and the years that you weren't the champion, you brought the pressure the whole way. It sounds like there's still like a hint of doubt in your mind about your future as a driver in this sport. Is that old habits dying hard, or?
No, I think that you have to be realistic about everything you do. I mean, you obviously want to set yourself up for the best possible situation and be out here as long as you can, but you have to be realistic. We deal with corporate America, and I mean, you look at some of these teams out here that are still hunting sponsorship, still trying to find sponsorship. It is tough. I mean, and so when we do have that opportunity to have a great sponsor like Mopar, like Rocky, like Magneti Marelli, you want to really take care of them and really, you know, show them how much you appreciate them. So, yeah, I understand that, you know, we got a great thing going. I just won a championship. But, you know, I'm replaceable as anybody. You know, Don could say, hey, kid, you know, great luck. You know, thanks for doing all you've done, and we'll see you later, you know. So I hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, I understand that it could happen tomorrow. And so I take every race and I treat it, you know, as if something special and that I might not get to do again. And, you know, I've been on that fence where you're thinking, man, am I going to get the phone call this year? And you know, and do I get to drive? Or when I had my own team just trying to put packages together and sponsorship together to keep it going and it out there. And, you know, because it's tough to do. So I definitely understand the situation out here in corporate America. The economy is getting better, but it ain't great yet, you know. So it is tough to keep sponsors, and you got to keep them happy.
Getting ready for that banquet speech. Are you prepared? Talk about the fact that you've had the experience one before. You know, here's what I know. Don't go too long.
Yeah, no, man, it's going to be short and sweet. You know, I mean, obviously I want to show love to my guys, show love to my sponsors, DSR and the Fab Shop and all those folks that do, you know, make this whole thing go around. But, you know, my first speech, I was scared to death. I just wanted, you know, I had like a couple glasses of wine and was just ready to get off the stage. I was sweating bullets, man, you know, and this deal is, it's the same approach that we take on the racetrack, you know, through Prom and Collect, go up there and thank the folks that need to be thanked and let everybody enjoy the party, you know. So it's just good to be here. You know, I don't have a whole lot to say other than thank you to my fans and my sponsors and all the folks that stand behind us when things are up and also stand behind us when things are down, you know. So it definitely goes a long ways. You know, there's, like I said, there's a lot of haters out there, but haters are going to hate, and it just motivates me to go out here, dig deeper, work harder, and try to win my third.
You have to have those. It's something that I'm even becoming aware of, because I live in a world where I would like everyone to be respectful and appreciative and understanding of everything that goes on. I think that would be great. It's not the way it is. And it's almost, if you don't have people hating, you're not doing the right thing. You're not doing it right if there's not somebody out there who's throwing you flack.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the best noise I heard last night was when the crowd went silent when we turned the wind light on against John, you know. So it was, you're going to have that. And like I said, I'll put it in perspective. You open up a restaurant, you're going to have somebody that don't like your food, you know what I mean? So that's the way it is. I mean, that's part of it. But I'm here to win races, win championships. I'd love to have some fans come along the way. But if that doesn't happen, I'm still going to turn wind lights on.
Is there a moment, and I know it's a little early for this, and I'm sure we'll speak at some point during the off season or getting ready for 2015, where maybe you'll have a little more time to reflect. Winning your first is winning your second is one of those things where it's still going to take some time to sink in. But was there a moment over the course of the countdown, over the course of the season, over this past weekend, where it hit you, where you will just think like, "Wow, I'm in this. It's happening. I'm making the most of it." You said something that I thought was very cool, that even if you lost, you were going to take it differently this time. Was that just a moment of reflection?
Yeah, you know, I think that you have to appreciate the moment. That's what I did. I woke up Sunday morning with a smile on my face. I mean, I slept great Saturday night and, you know, just was very, very confident in my team and myself and my abilities and also my team's ability. And, you know, as long as you put it all out there and you give all, That's all you can ask of yourself, and that's all you can ask of your team. And if it doesn't work out, then it wasn't meant to be. So, you know, I know if I'm giving it all, I can't be upset about it, you know. So that's just the way I saw it. I mean, it's one of those deals where getting all worked up and pressure and trying to run every scenario through your head of how it could work out, it doesn't help anybody, and it definitely doesn't help you as a driver. So why do that to yourself? Just take it in stride. And appreciate the moment, be in the moment, be in the zone, as they say, and just focus on your job at hand.
Such good advice. Such good advice for everything and everyone, even if you're not going 300 miles per hour.
Right on, man.
Speaking of which, I'm leaving you a message earlier today, and I get your voicemail, which is very telling, because people don't change their voicemails for like 100 years. You know, the outgoing message, like, hey, you've reached Matt.
Yeah.
What is this part-time funny car driver thing on there?
Well, man, I tell you, I do a lot of farming, so I didn't know which one to say I was full-time doing, you know what I mean? So I figured I'd part-time funny car drive, you know?
I don't know. I think as an NHRA representative, you're obligated to change that. Are you ready for that? Good question. Leading into it, the champ is a representative. The champ is the guy who has to carry the majority of the weight for the next year, for media obligations, for going out and talking to people who know nothing about the sport, for all of that. Are you ready? I know the first time around you were ready to embrace it. What about this time around? Are you ready to get out there and talk to the world about what you do?
You know what was really cool? I was sitting on the I guess the mellow yellow bus or truck that brings you back down the deal when we won the deal. And Tom Coffin's sitting right there. And, you know, Tom is he's a great guy, you know, and he's friends with other teams and stuff that I'm not going to mention names. But, you know, he sat there and he said, kid, you know what? He said, you're the future of the sport, you know, along with Erica and all these young drivers and stuff. And he said, we're going to promote you, man. We're going to spend some money on bringing you up as one of the stars in this show, you know, and that was just music to my ears, just because, you know, you can only do so much as a team, you can only do so much as a driver, and you have to have your organization stand behind you as well. And, you know, I was really tickled to hear Tom say that, man. So I hope that follows through and we're able to get out there and do lots of promotion for NHRA and grow this thing for our future and for these youngsters out here, man, because, you know, there's a lot of guys that are 50 and 60 years old driving these race cars, and they need to be 20 and 30 years old. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a way to get some young guys out here, and we just need to try to start doing that. But there's also a way to get younger fans in the stands, man. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, and it just makes too much sense sometimes when, you know, I'm not into, you know, monster trucks and all this kind of stuff, but my kids are. And you know what? I got to go out and buy the tickets because that's what my kids want to do. You know what I mean? So I end up having to go there. We spend a couple hundred dollars on cotton, you know, all these other T-shirts and cotton candies and all this other mess. And that's what we got to do in NHRA, man. We got to grow this sport. We got a great platform. We got one of the best platforms in the motorsports industry, and we just got to figure out a little bit better way to sell it. And hopefully we can do that over the next few years, and our sport grows, and we have more sponsors come into it, and it's just an all-around good thing, man. I love our sport, I love our fans, and I just want to see it grow.
Matt, I totally agree. I think that you are a great representative for a million different reasons, but most importantly, you really took it to a higher level when it came to the competition. You got fit, you got strong, you got focused, you rose to the occasion in big moments at big times, and you faced down the greatest that there has ever been for your championship. It doesn't get much better than that. Go out there and have a fun, wild, yet slightly responsible party tonight with you and your guys. Congratulations. And, of course, I look forward to having you back on the show. Like, once it sinks in a little bit more that you are now a two-time NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champ. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe, man. I really appreciate the time. And let me show some love to our fans and our sponsors.
I saw that you got to take a photograph with Rich and Saugus with our WFO radio 4x6 card.
Yeah, sure enough.
Sure
did.
He's like our best guy when it comes to promotions. He is out there working it.
I heard that, brother. That's good stuff.
Very, very cool. Matt, thank you very much. Have fun at the party.
All right, brother. Thank you, now.
Matt Hagen, your 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion and Auto Club Finals race winner with us here on WFO Radio. And all you Hagen Nation people, I saw the Twitter account now, and Hagen Nation is out there. I love the idea of rival fans jawing at each other, getting back and forth at each other in a very respectful, fun way, but that we need that. That's what the sport needs. Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, battling it out. That's what makes the rivalry great. And Matt Hagen fans now, they've got something to cheer for. They've had something to cheer for the past couple of years, but they scored a championship, and I think it's great for the sport. I really do. I'm looking forward to watching those guys battle again next year. And I thought it was cool, some of the things Matt had to say about keeping calm, good advice for things other than racing. Now, on this show, the first show of the holiday season, the so-called off-season, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, now I can check out. Now I don't have to think about drag racing anymore. But you would be missing some of the better shows that we have during the off season. We go into places we don't normally go because we're always talking to winners, talking about races and race wins. We're going to begin doing that. And there's a lot of interesting things going out there in the world of drag racing. We're going to cover it. Plus, we're going to work hard. We're going to get every Auto Club Finals race winner. As you can imagine, being on the West Coast, we being on the East Coast, the banquet being Monday night, difficult to chase everybody down and get them to do an interview and get them on time and all in one show. The great news is we have got a lot of material to fill, a lot of hours of entertainment for you drag racing and WFO radio fans. So we will get each of the Auto Club Finals winners. We will get each of the Mellow Yellow champions. We will get each of the Lucas Oil champions. My goal in every Lucas Oil Series category, Super Gas, Super Comp, all the way. That is my goal for the off-season. So you're going to have an off-season of champions here on WFO Radio. Hopefully you will subscribe, you'll tell your friends, you'll sign on, you'll get on board. We've got our Ignition show. We're going to continue to do that as well through the off-season as far as we can go. You never know. We might get nominated again for that great award we win every year on Comp Plus. Who knows what's going to happen? That's why you have to keep checking back, and we're going to make it worth your while. Some other news, the WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR League champion was crowned and will have their name applied to the WFO Radio Fantasy League trophy created by metal artist Tom Patsis of coldheartart.com. That is right. We will announce that tomorrow on Ignition. Also, WFO Radio t-shirts. If you haven't gotten yours, you're missing out. The holidays are coming. Grab yourself a WFO Radio t-shirt. I saw Rich and Saugus and some of our listeners out there at the finals sporting theirs. It is very cool. Can't go without representing WFO. When we come back, we're going to hear from Hector Arana Jr. Hector and Adam, actually, together on the phone, talking about the finals. We caught up with these drivers before the banquet. And so we're going to have to do banquet stories in the coming weeks. As you can imagine, a lot going on for all of these drivers as they debrief and conclude 2014. But WFO is not going anywhere. Now, I want to remind you about one of our great sponsors, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak. Get this, folks. Marvin Rodak, a great sponsor of WFO Radio, has put together the WFO Radio Holiday Pack. That includes a bag of WFO Radio custom blended coffee, a container of Marvin's award-winning A26 spice rub, and a bottle of the Habanero Endorphin Booster hot sauce, my favorite, all in one holiday pack for $22. You're saving a ton of money, all for the holidays. So if you've been thinking about getting some WFO Radio blend, I know a lot of people around the country are freezing, that the polar vortex is back, and that there are people, it's 5 degrees, it's 10 degrees. Getting out to the coffee stores is a little bit different. Maybe you should have it shipped right to your house. Call Marvin, 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821. Go to WFOradio.com, click the banner ad, or go to Rodak, R-O-D-A-K-S, coffeeandgrills.com to find out more information on the WFO Radio Holiday Pack, or just call him. Because Marvin, he's real into the coffee. Top 5% of coffee from around the world. Some custom blends. The Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Jamaican coffee from around the world. They have got it all. But what they're doing right now for your Christmas and holiday gift-giving season, the Rodak WFO Radio Holiday Pack. Coffee, hot sauce, spice rub, all together. You're saving money. What's better than that? I'll tell you, he is sponsoring a WFO Radio Holiday Pack for each of the NHRA Mellow Yellow champions. That includes Matt Hagen, who's going to get his. And, of course, Erica Ender Stevens. Hope she loves coffee and barbecue from Texas. I think so. Tony Schumacher and Andrew Hines. Very excited to present them with their WFO Radio Rodax Holiday Pack. Get yours today. Just $22. 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Robert Height and John Force joining us now. Guys, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Hey, Joe, I want to say this, and this ain't sucking up. I enjoy your show. I enjoy the work that you do, and I know some of the things that we do sometimes. You try to cover for us and protect us, but we enjoy your show. Do it the way you do it, and we'll be celebrating you down the road.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, the season is over. What are you going to do, NHRA fans? Oh, no. I guess it's time to just hibernate and forget about NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing until February. Right? Wrong. WFO Radio is going to have drivers and stories and all kinds of great stuff. But first, we got to talk to the winners of the Auto Club Finals. And joining us now, he is a Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, Hector Arana Jr. Hector, welcome back.
Joe, thanks for having me. It's been too long.
Long time. What happened, man? Where you been?
Yeah, we just changed some things and parts that had to get replaced, and then having to just figure out the combination again. And, you know, I'm just thankful that we were able to gather it all up again, at least for the last race, so we could get one more in.
You ran great. I'm really mostly joking. I know how hard it is out there, and I got the very great experience to watch you, your family, work hard, and the level of competition out there is so tough. You brought an incredible level of intensity. It's got to feel great going into the off season as the last winner of 2014.
Yeah, that's definitely the greatest feeling. It's 100% the best way to end the end of the year if you didn't get a championship. And even if you did seal the deal, a championship, there's nothing like walking away with winning that last race.
Number one qualifier, first round you took out Freddie Camarena, who is doing great, by the way. Freddie bringing in Danny Griego, who put up the money for the Amerimonte Records Pro Bike Battle, which is a tremendous asset to the sport. You were able to take Freddie out, though. Second round, Steve Johnson. Steve has been quick lately.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, this year, everybody that's qualified has been fast, and you can't take any of those guys for granted, because you're a little late on the tree, and any of those guys can take you out. So it was, you know, we did have the performance advantage, but it wasn't easy. I had to be on my game and made sure that I was green and made sure that the lights were decent.
Semifinals against Chaz Kennedy. You outran him, but he beat you up on the starting line. When I see a light with a one out of Hector Arana Jr., to me it means some sort of parts failure or malfunction or an anomaly. What happened there?
Yeah, you know, we were almost evading on the go into the right lane, but we were running so good in the left, and we didn't want to change our minds. But the sun was setting, and the sun was setting right there, and the sun was right behind the Christmas tree in my eyes. And so I wanted to make, during qualifying, I had red light when I had the same situation. And I wanted to make sure I was green and a little too green, but we were able to run him down, and that's all that matters.
Low ET of eliminations right there with a 6.808 at 197. Big miles per hour, too. Then the final round against Eddie, who has made the final at Pomona for, what, 7 straight years? This guy is, you should buy stock in the Fairplex or something, because he just loves it there. But you were able to beat him with a 10 reaction time. How sweet is it, knowing the year that Harley Davidson had, for you to get one in the final race?
Yeah, it's definitely sweet. And, you know, that's just a good, so everybody can see what we have in store for next year. We, you know, we tried some things and everything, like I said, came together and we ran really strong and, compared to the field. And definitely it's, it gives us a big confidence booster and, you know, shows them what they have in store for next year.
Now, there was one superlative, though, that you let escape. You had top speed. You had low ET. You were number one qualifier. You won the event. But best reaction time went to another Arana, Adam Arana, who in your winner's speech, you gave a lot of credit to your brother. He is going off to serve our country in the Coast Guard. Think about that decision, folks. He puts aside racing in the NHRA to serve his country in the Coast Guard. Just a tremendous thing that Adam is going to do. Talk about that moment and how you got a little emotional, which I think is good and okay.
Yeah, you know, we're best friends. We work together, and he's been with us racing since I've been racing in the beginning. He wasn't racing beside me, but he was helping me. You know, he was one of our crew members, so next year, we're going to miss him a lot. And, I was really hoping that within these 2 years, he would be able to get himself one of his own Wallys. But, that's okay. He still plans on maybe coming out and doing a couple of select few events if he has some time and he is able to stay, small enough to make weight. But like I said, it was definitely sad, a touching moment losing him as a teammate and somebody to race against.
But you are gaining a member of the United States military and Coast Guard, someone who is out there who is going to do something very valuable to the country that we all live in. That's got to be real special, too.
Yeah, it's definitely, I have a lot of respect for him to do that, and just knowing, you know, somebody from my family is out there and protecting our coast and our country, and it's definitely very impressive, and a lot of respect for him for doing that.
Now, is he there? Is Adam around there?
Yeah, Adam's right here with me.
You want to hand him the phone for a quick second?
Yeah, no problem.
You're coming back, though.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Adam, Thank you for coming on WFO Radio. This is the first. And this
yeah,
is
thanks for having me.
This is kind of bad, though, on my part. I should have had you on the show in the past. My fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are you thinking, man? Jeez.
I know, but really, though, let's talk about your brother breaking down on the top end over you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that's a lot of emotions. You know, you're winning, it's the last race of the season, and, you know, a lot of things are changing. He's actually getting ready to move to New York. You know, I'm leaving in January, so there's a lot of things going on, and, you know, it's just kind of all cut up at the end, I think, for him.
Well, I was just telling him that I actually, that's one of the things I respect, is when people show their true emotions as opposed to holding it back. I think it makes you, connects you to the people who are watching, so I'm mostly busting his chops. But when do you go in? Tell us about the decision. What's the schedule from here on out now that 2014 NHRA is in the books?
I start January 6th. As far as scheduling going, I'm just going to try and get into better shape. That way I'm not struggling whenever boot camp starts. I won't know where I go until I'm in boot camp, so I'm just kind of, you know, along for the ride.
And when you made the decision, for the fans out there who are following and thinking about this, thinking about, there are people who go into the military, go into the service because they want to serve their country. There are other people who go into the service, they want to get a benefit, pay for college, do something they couldn't do. Maybe they live in the middle of nowhere and they want to see the world. There's a million reasons. All you have to do is watch the commercials. They tell you all the reasons. What was your reason for wanting to join the service and serve your country?
Yeah, serve my country was definitely one of them. I don't know. I mean, my grandfather did it, and I had a lot of respect for him, you know, doing it. And it's just something I wanted to do before I even graduated high school. It's just something I thought would be fun and exciting, and I wanted an adventurous lifestyle, you know. So I got to do that with drag racing. It was definitely a lot of fun. But, you know, I've been doing that ever since I was a little kid. And like Hector said, I worked on the crew, you know, all season, his first season, and, you know, every race that I could go before that. So I've done that, and I just wanted something new and challenging.
Well, I have a feeling it's going to be very challenging, but I also know for sure that you are going to be up to the challenge. I let me tell you this. I share your brother's sentiment. It is not going to be the same without you out there. You are and have been one of the people that I have really enjoyed seeing over the course of the year. Always positive, always smiling, always up-tempo, even when things aren't going your way. That is greatly appreciated, and all of those things are going to be a great asset to you in your service of our country. Thank you for all that. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. You know, it means a lot that you guys think highly of me. You know, I try to be happy and go lucky. You know, I think that's part about, you know, having a good life, as long as you have a good attitude towards everything.
100%. And your parents also, you know, like, you won the lottery right there with your mom and dad.
Yeah, I did. You know, I have a lot of things to be blessed for. You know, my mom and dad, and, you know, Forrest and Charlotte, because without them we wouldn't be here. You know, there's a million things that have gone right for us in our life, and there's a lot of people to thank for that.
Absolutely, and your even your girlfriend, like, my goodness, you couldn't compliment you better. You guys are awesome together.
Yeah, she's great. She makes life easy for me, so that's a good thing.
Well, tremendous that you went through the season. I agree. I would love to have seen you holding the Wally at some point, but you never know. Maybe you are destined to come back and get it as a Coast Guardsman. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Well,
hope that can ruin someone's day.
Are you going to? That's what it's all about. Then now, is just come out and block somebody. Are you going to the banquet?
I am going to the banquet. Yeah, we're right outside of the hotel eating lunch. Don Corsett just stopped by to say hello.
All right, Adam. Well, thank you very much, and greatly appreciated everything that you're going to do.
Yeah, thank you for having me on one last time.
Well, not necessarily the last time. Like, we got some off-season time to kill. If you want to come back on as the countdown goes on and talk about some things, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
You up for it?
I'm always glad to be on here. I'm always up for it.
Awesome. We're going to get you some fans out there in the Coast Guard where you're doing something of grave importance. Have fun tonight. Don't get too crazy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Joe.
You won the lottery with a brother. Like, this family is very, you know, I can imagine a lot of people being envious of the relationship you guys have.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more.
So what about the party tonight there, Hector? What are you planning on doing?
was just going to spend some good quality time with my brother and my girlfriend, Nicole, and his girlfriend, my mom, my dad, my sister, Abby, and Nicole's brother, Vincent O'Beal. We're all really good friends, and we're all going to hang out together and have a good time. Celebrate the end of the year, a successful year. You know, everybody did well. We all walked away safe and sound, so can't ask for anything more.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Hector, you have fun. Please give my best to your family and everybody you just mentioned. Over the course of the year, I've had a great time calling the races and being out there watching it all happen. I look forward to next year as well. Have a good time at the big celebration, and congratulations on winning the Auto Club Finals. Most of all, ending off the season on a very, very high note.
Joe, thanks for having me, and I thank Lucas Oil and Matthew V for the support, for helping us, and S&S for supplying us with the power plants. Thanks again, Joe, and wish you could be out here celebrating with us.
Oh, yes, I do too, but perhaps next year. All right, Hector, thank you very much. Have fun.
Thank you. Bye.
Hector Arana Jr. with us here on WFO Radio, Auto Club Finals winner in Pro Stock Motorcycle. We will have Andrew Hines on as the champ over the next couple of weeks. We're going to hear from the champs. We're going to hear from other winners. And this week has been crazy with everybody going through the banquet out on the left coast. We're going to catch up with all the winners and the champions over the next couple of weeks. Thanks to Adam Arana as well for coming on the show and serving our country, most importantly. Going to be great to catch up with him over the next couple of years and see how it goes. But good kid, just always a very positive person. So very excited to see those guys do well in the final race of 2014. Of course, Matt Hagen, great job, and Alan Reinhart, which brings us to the tail end of the show. But we did get a couple of calls in on the wide open line. We always encourage people to call the wide open line and share their thoughts, opinions, views. Just go crazy. Like, get psyched up and pumped up for your favorite driver. And we got a couple of those calls.
WFO, Joe. Hey, it's Brian in Louisiana, and I'm calling to congratulate Matt Hagen. Oh, my God. My wife is so damn happy that Matt won. And now I don't have to hear about him and how good he looks anymore. Anyhow, and also congrats to Kevin Happy Harvick. That guy deserves it. And he got screwed around by his pit crew, but he got it done. And, of course, all the other NHRA winners, Erica Ender-Stevens. Oh, my God. I was on the edge of my seat. What a great win for her and her team. It was awesome. But I would be remiss without mentioning Hooper won, getting it done in the only fantasy league that matters, the WFO Radio Fantasy League. That was awesome. Coming from behind and taking care of business. I made the top 60, I think, this year, and hoping to make the top, cracking the top 50 next year. WFO, boys.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, the WFO Radio Fantasy League. For those of you Nitro listeners who maybe don't listen to the Ignition Show is NASCAR and Formula One. We do talk some NHRA, but it's wide open. It's just whatever we want to talk about. And our longstanding Yahoo NASCAR Fantasy League results and smack talk happen on the Ignition Show. This year, we have finally created a BorgWarner-style trophy where the names of the winners are applied to the trophy. And it was created by coldhardart.com for WFO Radio, the most spectacular trophy in the world. It's definitely, without a doubt, as good as it gets, comprised of parts from DSR machines, Hendrick Motorsports machines, and IndyCar machines to form the ultimate trophy. And Hooper One's name will be applied to that trophy in a ceremony over the next couple of weeks. We did have a great season. I finished in the top 50, not good. But we'll do it again next year. And the only rule is you have to listen to the show. That's how we give the codes and the information. You have to be a listener to participate in the league. But it was a lot of fun. We'll be talking about the Ford 400 and Ford Championship Weekend and all the NASCAR stuff on the Ignition Show this week. I know you folks are predominantly NHRA listeners. And something I did want to mention, I mentioned to Reinhardt, I wanted to follow up again. Number one, Fast and Loud. Guys, I think I'm going to just retire. It's over because my tweet got displayed on Fast and Loud on the Discovery Channel. Richard Rawlings and Dennis Collins and those guys. Now, I'm kidding, obviously. But I did take the opportunity to get my Twitter handle out there, and let me check and see exactly how many Twitter followers I picked up by being on there. Let's go to my profile. Let's check out the profile. We'll view the profile. Hopefully you follow on social media, WFO Radio. Look at that. Did I pick up maybe four? Maybe two. Maybe none. No way to know, but all joking aside, when they brought the Gas Monkey Garage car out to the AAA Texas Fall Nationals at Billy Meyer's Texas Motorplex, I thought it was a cool thing. Any kind of exposure is good exposure. But at the end of it all, they did a great job of showing what the sport is all about. And these guys kind of getting in it, and they're trying to take down Schumacher and take down Force, and he's hitting on Brittany Force. Brittany, call me. And it was fun and funny and entertaining, but also, I feel like, showed NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing is this whole other world out there. And I can assure you that there are a lot of car guys and girls out there who watch that show for entertainment, to watch the goofiness, that saw NHRA drag racing for the first time. It's real easy to think, wow, 60 years of history and drag racing, it's been around forever, everybody knows it. That could not be further from the truth. Everybody does not know it. Everyone has not been exposed to it. Everyone does not understand what's going on out there. And any time you can get a main or more mainstream audience, because this wasn't exactly mainstream, it was car people, people who watch Discovery, car guys, like little fun silliness, these car builds kind of thing. But they did a good job with it. It would be nice. The real reason is that they didn't make the show. They didn't qualify. And a lesson was learned. At the time it was happening, I was thinking to myself, oh, by the way, I'm in the background of a couple of the promos. Michael Panic, cameraman for NHRA, was like the star of the deal. They just kept showing him over and over again. That's Michael. I work with him when I'm out on the tour. And there he is again. Oh, there he is again. There's Panic. There he is again. This guy was on more than Richard Rawlings. He's getting his own show on Discovery. It's called Panic Cam. And it's going to be just various shots of Michael Panic around the track when he doesn't realize he's being shot. That's it. How he made it, he's got a credit. Fast and Loud, two-part episode. He can definitely put star of the show on the resume. It was outrageous. He was on a lot. Me, on the other hand, I was in the background twice. I threw my hands up. Woo! It was more actually shock. A big engine explosion. It was a big dramatic reaction to the engine explosion. Oh, no! But I think they did a great job. You can't just show up at a professional major motorsport and just qualify and beat all these guys first time out. Could the Gas Monkey Dragster have some great success down the road with some sustained practice and getting up to speed? Perhaps. But it would be great to see them try. I see a spin-off Discovery. I think you need to spin it off. Hopefully you've been watching the Pro Modified shows on Velocity as well. I'm on a couple of those occasionally. Certainly things heading in that direction. Other news, just wanted to mention some other news. Terry McMillan basically blew up his team. Not literally, but at the conclusion of the season, they got rid of everybody, and they're going to rebuild from scratch. And as far as it looks like they may move the team to Indianapolis, and that is in a story on CompetitionPlus.com. We're going to have to get Bobby Bennett on the show to talk about that. Terry McMillan, such a fan favorite. The guy is well-liked for a reason. He's well-liked because he's a very nice man. And I have had the good fortune to interact with Terry at the track when things are going well, when things are not going well, and away from the track in various situations. And he is always just a very nice stand-up guy who's putting his heart and soul into it. Him and Jim trying to make it happen, and it just hasn't been happening. And he says it was the hardest thing. Read the story on Competition Plus. The hardest thing he's ever had to do in his whole life, basically release the entire team. And I, you know, those decisions come with great power. With great power comes great responsibility, like Spider-Man. And here the guy is the head of the team, and he's investing. There's a lot of money of investment. And wow, it had to be brutal to have to go in and make that decision. That decision having been made, though, there's people out there. There's hardworking people who they can do a job and maybe they can get it done. I don't really know the details. What I do know is that people want to see the Amelie Instigator, you know, qualify for races, and he needs to start performing better, and maybe this is the first step. So that is big news. John Force and Lucas Oil partnering together. Basically, Lucas Oil going to become the oil sponsor for John Force Racing. And Peak is coolant, antifreeze, that kind of stuff. Good to see Force Lucas and Lucas Oil getting together with John Force. John Force is not going anywhere. This is just the beginning. He did say that a couple of times on the broadcast, but really good to see that John, they had a mistake. They left the oil out of the car when they went to warm it up. It happens to everyone at some point, sometime. But when it happens to John Force, it's amplified. They basically went to the final round, and the car got loose coming up on the lights. And John decided he didn't want to go on his roof and take the wind light. Probably a good decision. Believe me, Matt Hagan and John Force winning championships every other year is not a bad thing, battling it out. Now, the Ron Capps of the world, the Dell Worshams of the world, those guys need to get in the mix as well. The level of competition in the NHRA could not be higher. Couldn't be higher. One other note, mentioned it earlier, Richie Crampton, Auto Club Road to the Future Award. Who else could have been in contention? Who else? Was not even close. No disrespect to any of the other racers out there, but Richie Crampton was far and above the guy who deserved it. He got my vote, without a doubt. It was like the envelope comes, open the envelope, check mark, send it back, without a doubt. Speaking of envelopes, if you want to send a self-addressed stamp envelope to Castello Media WFO Radio Stickers, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084, I will send you some WFO stickers. I'll stuff the envelope and send it on back. We've got WFO Radio t-shirts. Chris from Australia says, I do not do a good enough job of pushing the t-shirts. Push them, push them, push them. Look, if you saw Rich and Saugus and all the WFO Radio listeners out there at the finals rocking their shirts, if you didn't, just go to our Twitter feed. They're all there. But it's something you definitely want for the holidays. There's a lot of holiday stuff coming at you with Black Friday coming up and all that. And we've got some great sponsors, the WFO Radio Holiday Pack, coffee, hot sauce, spice rub. Frank Hawley, of course. Get ready for 2015 with Frank Hawley. And along the way, get yourself a WFO Radio t-shirt. Big thanks to Alan Reinhart for coming on the show. Big thanks to Matt Hagan for coming on the show. Big thanks to Hector Jr. and Adam for coming on the show. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue doing WFO Radio, and we are going to cover the stories of Jed Coughlin stepping away. We got to talk to Jeggy. What's up? Woody's birthday. Happy birthday. But there's a lot going on out there. Erica said flat out during the red carpet for the banquet that she received 40 million text messages Erica got, and somewhere in there, we're going to get her on the show. Next week, Tony Schumacher, all the champs, the Lucas Oil champ. We might be without Alan Reinhart for a few weeks. You heard him say that, but it is what it is. We're going to have to just keep on trucking here on WFO Radio. That's going to do it. Thanks again, everyone, all season long, all you WFO Radio listeners. Met so many of you. The most important thing you have to remember, this is vital. Ready? We are doing the show next week. You come to expect an hour to 2 hours of entertainment that has something to do with the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing and cars in general. You will find it here. Do not worry. That's going to do it. Great thanks to Matt Hagan, Hector Jr., Adam Arana, and of course Alan Reinhart. We'll see you on WFO Ignition Wednesday night, 8 p.m. See you there, right here on WFO Radio. WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.